Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Welcome to The Upswing every other Tuesday. We're playing the business of sports on the show, always with Mark Cass from Team Lammy and the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. And in addition to Mark, we're rotating in big names, big guests in the sports world. Today, it's Bucks and Valley Sports Wisconsin TV analyst and broadcaster, Brown Deer High School graduate, 11-year NBA sharpshooter who led the league in three-point percentage in 2011-12 season, and a proud Marquette grad, Steve Novak, joins the show today. Steve has a big event that started yesterday that we'll discuss. There's also an upcoming Wisconsin-Marquette charity softball game in Oconomowoc in July that we'll get into. And we're going to get his and Mark's thoughts on many big sports and business items that have national and local impacts. First, you both knew Marquette President Dr. Lovell well. I wanted to give you both time for kind of some personal reflections and stories about Dr. Lovell. Mark?
You know, I mean, he's just one of those individuals in our city who he just really liked and who just seemed to be everywhere and just had an impact. He just had a way with people. And, you know, I mean, I'll just use an example. I mean, I ran into him a couple weeks ago at the opening of the Baird Center. You know, I asked him about his health, but he didn't want to talk about that. He wanted to talk about kind of my career change. He wanted to know why I did it. He wanted to talk about me rather than I wanted to hear about him. So that, I mean, just an interesting guy. I've known him since when he was over at kind of my alma mater. Yeah. And, you know, obviously Chancellor there, to come over to Marquette, which I thought was a surprise at the time. But he really fit that role well, didn't he, Jeff? He just really fit in. He was a community leader. You know, he just led the institution with grace. I mean, the thing I think you can say about him all the time, he was graceful. He was just always knew how to say the right words.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a tremendous loss for the city, tremendous loss for the university, but I think a tremendous loss for just a lot of us who knew him. Yeah. I mean, I just enjoyed my conversations with him all the time. He was just a good person.
Yeah, yeah. Just always heartfelt conversations. And truly, I think, you know, his path to Wisconsin and Milwaukee, you know, was a calling to be at
Marquette. Right, and, you know, the way he handled his health, I think, was fascinating. I mean, he was going through this for 3 years. And, you know, I had the rare opportunity about a year ago to interview both him and Mark Monet from UWM, who also has cancer, on stage. And to hear how they handled it with grace and how they didn't want your pity, but what they wanted you to learn from what they were going through, I thought was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah, mark of a true leader. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, I think I agree with what you were saying, Mark, very much about, I think, the word grace. I think the way that Dr. Lovell led, it was from campus. You know, I just felt very blessed to be on campus with him. He was, you know, the leader of Marquette, the president, when I was graduated. But I was coming back and I was working out when I was in the NBA in the weight room with Todd Smith, and, you know, I'd look over and there'd be this, relatively speaking, on a college campus, this old guy in the weight room
right,
working out, and he's getting his butt kicked and he's working so hard, and you're like, what is this guy's deal? Like, that's the president of the university. That's Dr. Lovell. And he had the bad hip at the time. This is, you know, 10 years ago, and he's working, and he was just an inspiration then, I think, just to see that he was with the students, that he was working. He was in there with the track athletes doing stuff. He was doing campus runs. It was just really cool to see, I think, the way that he led, his interactions. And I think, you know, Mark, you said it well. I just think he was such a humble guy, the way he was on campus. And he was always very calculated, you know, in a really positive, good way, down the middle, right, listening to what everybody thought on campus and the people who were making decisions. And so it is a tremendous loss. And I think just to see the way that he did handle his his cancer and his sickness, it was inspirational, you know, because you knew how tough of a guy he was, I think, from, you know, just seeing the way he worked and what he put into it, but how he was with Marquette folks and on a big time trip all the way until the end. It just shows that I think he was always trying to live life to the fullest, and he will be missed. And there's going to be a, hole at Marquette for a while.
Yeah. You saw it, Jeff. Just all, the thing I was always impressed with was he was always around the students.
Right.
He could have sat in his office. He could have led from his office,
yeah,
but he was out on campus, on walks, on runs. He would invite students on runs with him.
Yeah.
He would go serve food to them. I mean, around exam time, I followed him on Twitter, and you saw how he was always on campus. And I think that's a true leader. Not sitting in your office saying, here's what we're going to do, A and B, but to be out there to hear from the students when things were tough, too. He was out there to hear from the students. So that, I mean, to me, was just a great leader. And the things he did in the community. I mean, he and his wife, a tremendous impact off the campus in terms of some of the things I saw them do.
Yeah. I mean, great leaders know that they're, one of their roles in this world is to make other leaders. And he did that each and every day on campus and beyond. When we come back from the break, personal branding for athletes then and now. I want to talk to Steve about how it's changed since his playing days. But first, Mark Cass was in an IndyCar yesterday, so I want to talk about that experience. This is the Business of Sports Upswing with Mark Cass, Steve Novak, and I'm Jeff Sherman. And you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Mark Cass and Steve Novak join us today. An additional Marquette note that we haven't discussed in depth. In May, Marquette University Vice President and Director of Athletics Bill Scholl announced his decision to retire once a successor is named following a national search. Insights, Mark Cass, as to whether or not the university looks kind of inside or outside in this pick, and you know, especially with obviously recent changes at the university.
It'll be interesting to see kind of what kind of where they go with this, just only because of what's just happened, and you have an acting CEO, acting president. Who knows when they'll name a full time president? You know, I think they have some options inside. There are some long term people who are in the department who I've heard great things about. I think you always want to look national because this is an important job. I mean, think this is the person who picked Shaka. I mean, and think how well that's worked out. So I think this is a real important job. I think they're going to look inside and outside. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it did end up inside because you have some strong candidates.
Yeah, and you had such alignment at Marquette between academics and athletics, and that is just really, really important.
It is. You saw,
and you want to continue that.
You saw Mike Lovell at every basketball game. I mean, literally, he and Shaka and Bill Scholl seem to be very well connected, which has led to a great program over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it really has. I think, and to your point, I think just being a smaller market, a smaller town, I think you do see a lot of people come from the inside. You kind of go, look, there's people that have been here a long time that are Marquette folks. And, you know, I just think about my time and my interactions with, you know, guys like Mike Broeker.
Yeah.
And I mean that. And obviously, I shot a few tweets out of support for him. Hey, look down the hallway. And you also understand, I think, like you said, the national search and the way it goes. It's like at our church right now, you know, our pastor is slowly stepping aside, and they're like, we're doing a national search, and you're like, national? Like, we have all these fantastic people we see. But to your point,
I
think it's an important job, and you obviously got to look outside and see who's out there. But I think Marquette, like you said, they're in very good hands currently, even though there's going to be some dramatic changes. Just I think it speaks very well to kind of the delegation and the job that guys like Bill Scholl and Dr. Lovell have done to have people in place.
Yeah, continue to build upon the strong leadership foundation that's there. So the NTT IndyCar Series will take a step towards competing with hybrid technology. They have testing today at the Milwaukee Mile. They're testing on hybrid, and then they're testing all afternoon with crews and simulating race conditions and kind of running all their pit stops. But yesterday, you were out at the track in full gear in an IndyCar. How was that, Mark Cass?
You know, I got to admit, I was a little nervous when I went out there. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I ended up doing it. I put on the suit, and I'm like, what the heck did I just do? And then when they squeeze you in the car, and they strap you in, and they put the helmet on, you're like, holy cow, I can't. I'm in. I'm not getting out of this. And but it was awesome. It was a great experience. We ended up at a maximum speed of 170 miles an hour. We went around the track twice. I didn't drive, thank God, because if not, I'd be on the news for a whole other reason. But it was just an exhilarating experience. Great to see, but also great to see all the people that were out there. I mean, the crews on the grounds already, all the trucks on the grounds, all the people eating lunch out there, all the people I saw out in West Dallas. You know, I mean, I've talked on the show already about the economic impact of that race coming up on Labor Day. Well, you know, we're already seeing it. We're seeing that happen. So, I mean, great experience. I'm glad I got to do it. Thank God I wasn't driving. But I would encourage you, I mean, Jeff, I mean, anybody ever has a chance, it's really an exhilarating experience.
Yeah, I did a year of consulting with CART, which blended with IndyCar, and just a fascinating sport on so many different levels. The athletes are amazing. It's community.
I mean, I was surprised how many mechanics, how many engineers, how much staff they have. And they're all out there right now. And again, they're all spending money here in Milwaukee.
All right, we're going to head to break. We're going to come back, talk to Steve Novak about his what is it called, Steve?
Twos, freeze, and threes.
I'm looking right at your t-shirt, and it's hard to say. But we're going to talk about it after the break. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing.
Welcome back to The Upswing. Steve Novak and Mark Cass join us for the business of sports. Steve, how did you, during your playing days, approach kind of building your personal brand and image during your career? Like, and how has that shifted since your playing days?
It has dramatically shifted because I would tell you, I kind of didn't really build my personal brand. My brand was if you make shots, you get to play. And if you don't, you get to not have a contract. they would say in the NBA, there's, you know, saying like, just do what you do and don't forget, you know, don't try to do too much. And so truly, you know, that was your brand. It was how hard did you work and, you know, how many shots did you make? And that was your brand. And but that's also coming from a time where it was like there was kind of camera phones. And I'm not that old. I'm 40 years old. Yeah. And so it really was a time where there were no camera phones. And then all of a sudden it was like Twitter and Instagram.
Right.
And so it was when I was in college, we got from Tom Crean a metal ring to start the season 1 year. And he said, like, it was to represent keeping your circle small. And to not be talking to your family even and not be talking to and listening to, you know, people that shouldn't be having, you know, sharing their insights with you because they're not in practice and they don't understand and they know whatever. And then it was kind of like a switch went off, like you're referring to, where all of a sudden there was like this, you need to be with the fans. You need to be out there with the people. Your voice needs to be heard. You need to create a brand. You got to wear a certain kind of sneakers. You got to be signing these deals. And so overnight, I think there was almost this generation where it was this push and pull where like, am I supposed to be quiet and focused and behind the scenes or am I supposed to be building my brand? And so it's been intriguing and I think strange to kind of watch some of these guys that are just out there, I would say, in the streets with everything. But I think that their PR and their brand folks say, this is beautiful. They're building their brand.
Right.
And so,
you're building engagement across different areas and enhancing the sponsorship opportunities along the way.
Yes.
And that's, you know, what it's all about. So tell us about the why and how of your event and how you put it all together. Obviously kind of modeled after the punt, pass, and kick NFL, but it's statewide in approach and how do kids get involved?
Yeah, and you're describing it perfectly. It really is the basketball version of punt, pass, and kick. In golf, there's drive, chip, putt. In baseball, there's pitch, hit, throw. And so in basketball, there is no version of that, which I was just shocked. And so this really is a passion project where – I love shooting. It was something that was just something I so enjoyed and had success and was able to, you know, play basketball for so long because of my ability to shoot. And I just thought, I remember how fun it was to be at free throw contests and those kind of competitions. I did the punt, pass, and kick. And I think this competition, we very much believe, and by we, I mean Mark Cass is working with us on this and Team Lammy, and we're across the state. And we're doing, you know, this is our third season. We're doing like 50-ish regionals across the state where we've just met people where they are, wherever it is, if it's at St. Jude's gym or if it's, you know, a YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hosting basketball shooting competitions where it's a 21-spot, two-minute competition.
Okay.
Open to all ages, boys and
all
girls.
All ages, all levels. Like, no matter where you are, if you're playing high school, you can,
he's
you're
saying,
taking competitors.
Even you, Jeff,
from it.
Is what
even,
he's saying.
I'm still available? All right. Sign me up.
It's an awesome competition. And when you're in the gym and look, there's sometimes there's 50, 75 shooters. And, you know, they bring two parents or a sibling or whatever along. And all of a sudden there's, you know, 200-300 people in the gym. And there's courses out. And two or three people are shooting at a time on different courses. And you can really watch it and track and see how well someone's doing. The rules are just this. 1 through 21, you got to start at spot 1. And you have to shoot in numerical order. The goal is to get to all the way to 21 in 2 minutes. But also the only rule is you have to make each spot before you move. Okay. And so if you stink, if you're not a very good shooter, you don't get to the three-pointers before 2 minutes runs out. But if you're good, you're Steph Curry-ish, you're getting all the way to 21, hitting a money ball, and people are cheering. And so It's a good time.
Okay. And then the finals will be when? What's the culmination of it?
Yep. So we do about 50 regionals, March through May.
Okay.
And then starting right about now, our last regional is actually in Kenosha.
Okay.
On Friday, Tristan Jass, millions of followers and a basketball influencer will be there as well.
Okay.
We got a bunch of adaptive shooters coming in, guys in chairs, ladies in chairs coming in and shooting. Yeah. It's been awesome to see that group really embrace twos, freeze, threes, and we're so pumped to have them there as well. And then it's sectionals. We'll do three sectional events. The top shooters from regionals, you have to get a score of 11 or higher. You go to sectionals, and those shooters, the top five scores in every division, will move on to state finals in August.
Okay. Who won it last year?
It was a teacher named Charles Lee.
Okay.
27 years old. All right. Won the $10,000 prize. We crown a state champion in each division, and then the division state champions all shoot one final round of champions for a $10,000 prize, and he won it. He got hot. He was cooking.
Who was the oldest one that won, though? There was an older person who won. How old was he?
So
well, we got to go to news.
We've got to come back to that story.
Come back. Welcome back to the Upswing. Mark Cass and Steve Novak join us today for lively conversation around the business of sports from the WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. Coming in from the 262. Steve, I got to read this for you. Steve, this is your four-year-old preschool teacher listening to you this morning. I've enjoyed following your successful career. Congratulations on all of your accomplishments. That's the community we have at WTMJ. That's beautiful.
Wait a second. I wanted to hear a story about you in preschool. Like, you know, you maybe stole a snack or something, or you were much taller than the teachers, I'm sure, at the time.
I was a very good student, Mark.
Oh,
I was very respectful. My dad was in the school system. I'd like to see a report card,
wouldn't you, Jeff? Because I'm not quite sure.
Yes.
I bet your mom still has your report cards, right? Does she?
All the report cards, all the photos. You know, we got the full photo frame where it's the picture from every year all the way through. Where you go from the mullet.
You bring those into the office sometime. I like that. That'd be awesome.
That's private.
So, how old is the youngest competitor in the twos, threes, and threes? Like, you have 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds? Like, do you have really small kids coming up and saying, "Hey, put me in, coach"?
We haven't had any 3 or 4 year olds, but 9 and under is what it sounds like. We do have definitely some shooters that are, you know, 6, 7 years old that come in, especially because they just say, "Look, we want to just kind of have our son or daughter, you know, experience it and be a part of it, and kind of, you know, so next year maybe when they're 7, they can really compete with the 9 year olds." But that 9 years old is kind of the threshold we found, you know, for the 10-foot hoop, because we'd love to have 8-foot hoops all over the place, but obviously with most gyms it's 10 feet, and so we've kind of found that 9 years old is kind of the threshold, but we definitely get some youngsters in there having a good time and chucking it up there.
And aspirationally, then, they can become a champion, because your champion last year was, again, how old? I wanted to have you finish up that story.
No, our champion last year was 27 years old.
Okay.
And he was an unbelievable shooter, won the $10,000 grand prize at the end of it. But, you know, to your point, the way we've designed it is the state champion from each division gets crowned. And then we do a final round for the $10,000 prize. So it's each division is represented. There's a 9-year-old, there's a 10 to 12-year-old, a 13, 15, a 55-plus. Everyone is represented in that final round. It's kind of exciting to see, all right, everybody, for $10,000, who wins? And if the 9-year-old gets hot, which didn't happen last year, but we're kind of hoping
oldest it does. Winner. Come on now. We want to hear that.
67 years old.
Wow.
And in his first competition, made 10 out of 10 three-pointers. Didn't miss on the three-pointers. So some impressive performances. It's been very cool to see. And you just kind of know those kind of people are out there.
So, Jeff, there's hope for you and I still.
That's right. I'm going to keep shooting.
We can still do it.
Put me in. What
do you think? You can get 20, 21? Are you up there?
I can. You know, I do a lot of alley shooting. We got the three-point line. Right,
what's
and
the
it's,
average
It's pretty
score.
Good.
Average score, Steve, what would you say?
You know, the average score to qualify to go from regionals to sectionals, you have to have a score of 11. You have to make spot 11 or higher.
Okay.
And so there's 21 total spots. And so I would say about the average is probably around that 10 or 11 just because of so many youngsters. But you kind of know when you got one out there that's a shooter. You go, oh, this kid's going to go.
Okay. So, when we come back from the break, last night news broke that 10 players from the late Jim Valvano 1983 national championship team have sued the NCAA and collegiate licensing company seeking compensation for unauthorized use of their name, image, and likeness. I want to get both Mark and Steve's take on the current state of NIL and the future of college athletics. When we come back, this is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Mark Cass and Steve Novak join us today. Steve, your involvement in the Be the Difference NIL at Marquette. I want to ask you about that experience and kind of how that has impacted both the men's and women's programs and, you know, where you see it going in the future.
Boy, it's very unpredictable. It is a new frontier. I mean, I think back to when I was getting $110 every 2 weeks at Marquette University for my service. Obviously, we were scholarshiped as well, and we were told, "And you're welcome." You know, right. it's a big deal, and it was. But now, I mean, to your point, to hear this, some of these, especially the big headlines, where you're seeing, you know, guys get seven figures and beyond, you know, especially in football and that kind of thing. Maybe I'm old school, you know, because I came from not being paid to play as an amateur. I think it's troubling. I think on a lot of levels, I think just seeing that kind of money is flowing so freely, it just seems like the bumpers aren't there. Mm-hmm. You know, and having been a guy who played in the NBA and knows what collective bargaining is about and what a right. union is and that kind of thing, you kind of just look at the NCAA and you go, like, boy, this is kind of a wild frontier. And I do feel like it is going to be reined in.
Yeah, I think the fans feel like the guardrails need to come because it helps us figure it out better as a fan. Right?
Well, I mean, think about it, Jeff, and you've seen this, Steve. Now every year, every college is switching teams. Yeah. They're bringing in all new players every year. And, you know, I mean, as alumni and fans, you like to get to know the players. You like to see them there for a couple years. That's not happening now. So I think that's what's going to draw this back. The alumni are going to say, wait a second. You know, I'm a big, you know, whoever booster. Yeah. I want my team to be successful. And if you have to change every year the entire team, that's crazy.
It is crazy, and I think that the transfer piece of it is as impactful as the money right now. And I think, you know, to your point, I just think about kind of the old school mentality is just basically fighting through a little adversity, being uncomfortable, being pushed, being able to not feel like you can immediately leave. I tend to think I would have transferred, and most of my teammates would have transferred because it wasn't easy.
Right. Mm.
Getting your butt kicked by guys like Rob Jackson and, Dwayne Wade, I got to keep up with this guy. And I mean that. Right. It makes you feel like I'm maybe not good enough or – I should be somewhere else. And so I worry about that generation going like, this is tough, I'm out. Right. And I think you're seeing that. And so some people would say, hey.
I'm out for the money. I mean, I'm not out for winning. I'm not out for kind of playing for a team. I can go somewhere and get $800,000. I mean, you're hearing numbers, Jeff, out there for players who are good but not great. $800,000.
Yeah.
$900,000. So it's no more about their ability. It's about how much they make.
Yeah.
And isn't that the NBA?
Oh, it certainly is.
Well, it's a good thing that there are passionate fan bases both at Marquette and UW, and there are charity softball games that bring us all together as a fan to celebrate and, you know, just revel in what we've all built. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the July 14th event out in Oconomowoc at the Wisconsin Brewing Company Park. Mark Cass, Steve Novak will have all the details on the big Marquette UW charity softball game. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Thankful that Steve Novak and Mark Cass taking time out of their mornings to join us today. The big Marquette UW charity softball game is in Oconomowoc, July 14th. Big rivals there. First, Mark Cass, tell us what the nonprofit, what the charitable connections are to this event.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's about sports for youth. I mean, and so I mean, it's the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, which we support a lot of youth sports throughout the area, throughout the region, and then out in Oconomowoc with their team, you know, working with the YMCA out there and others, again, for youth sports. We really want to raise a lot of money for youth sports. And it's great because you have these colleges who are, you know, we have a lot of alumni in this area who are pretty competitive, I would say, you know, to actually come out, have a great time, and really raise money for charity, raise money for youth sports, which, as we've been talking about throughout the day, and kind of what you work on, Steve, in terms of getting more kids involved, making sure kids throughout the community, no matter where they live, can be involved. I think it's important because sports it's a rallying point for families, right? It's a rallying for everybody. Drew, a great thing. So we're going to see a lot of great alumni. I'm sure that you're going to hit how many home runs, Steve? What are you going to predict now?
I'm going to predict at least three. Three seems to be my number.
Three home
throwing
runs.
It down.
We might have to bring in the fence a little bit, but that's okay. We're willing to do that for you, Steve.
We can change the rules a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We can always change the rules.
I'm a part of the game. Steve's up. Move the fence in for him.
So who's your biggest rival on the UW side, and how are you preparing for this game, Steve?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of trash talk that's actually been going back and forth. Little Travis Beckham has had some words.
Okay.
And I know my guy Brian Butch. I actually saw, I'm not sure, because we haven't been doing the recruiting on the Wisconsin side, just the Marquette side, but I saw Kirk Penny the other day at dinner. It was him and his wife, and I said, is that Kirk Penny? And I actually sent a drink over to him and said it was good to see him, but I'm hoping he's in the softball game as well. He'll actually be in the Summerfest alumni twos, freeze, three shootout.
Okay.
So Kirk Penny and I are going to be shooting against each other over at Summerfest in July, so that'll be fun as well. But no shortage of trash talk. But I just think back to all the rivalries and how much we disliked each other. But I think, all what Mark just said, the fact that we can kind of just – we can use this rivalry where we get to say, hey, we hate Wisconsin. They can say, hey, we hate you too. And we can raise some money for youth sports, which I do think is just, it's such a powerful thing in so many ways.
So kind of what is your greatest memory of that rivalry? I mean, you had to have one game that was kind of cool for you.
Yeah, it was, I have a lot of memories. there's I think about some of the boosters at Marquette. Right when you sign there, you see them and they say, hey, Steve, nice to meet you. My name is whatever. It's
Circle long. This game.
Exactly. And they tell you from the start, hey, we beat Wisconsin and we beat Notre Dame. You understand? This is what we got to do. You think about some of those. And, obviously you just think, too, about, a guy like Devin Harris, who's a guy who I, played open gyms with and played against all the time growing up. He'd come over to Brown Deer and we'd play and AAU, you cross paths and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you're on the real stage. You're at the Bradley Center. You're at the Kohl Center. You're playing against each other. And I think you just realize how cool the in-state moments are, but I have to say I think probably the Elite Eight when we were there in our Final Four run and Wisconsin was also there. Wisconsin got knocked out, but it was cool to see Marquette cheering for Wisconsin. Wisconsin then stuck around. They cheered for Marquette. Wow. We beat Kentucky, and so you just kind of – that was when I think you understood, you hate each other, but there's that underlying love that no one wants to talk about.
Right. Never heard that part of the story, though, have
we? Yeah.
That's right. And in the path for all the former players, hopefully, is the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, right? And the first phase of improvements planned for the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame right down the street here in front of the UWM Panther Arena is already in the works. You want to give us an update on that, Mark?
Yeah, really, Jeff. We should see some activity there and, have up a static board and have up a board there. Hopefully in time for the RNC.
July 14th,
but to have it up in time for the RNC to be able to show all these people in town about some of our great athletes, to have highlights on that screen at all times, to have some interviews, to have content. And then, over the next few months to see kind of more of an entrance way, kind of on the southern end of the thing, kind of to show it as you walk in. Okay. I know what I'm walking into now. I know what the history is. Some great athletes. Think about all the great athletes in the state and think about them that are in the Hall of Fame. So I really think you're going to see some change there. I also think we're hoping to do some activation there in the next few months, to have some events right around the thing there, to have some, to have activity and energy. I mean, I often talk about that, how important it is to have energy around that thing, and I think we'll do it. And then one day we're going to put you in there, Steve, right? He asks me every day, why aren't I in there?
Why am I not in there? It's just unbelievable.
Well, you're in the Brown Deer Hall of Fame, are you?
Yeah, Brown Deer. I'm in the Brown Deer Hall of Fame.
You are the Brown Deer Hall of Fame, I think.
Well, the swimming pool's not named after the Novaks. That's named after the cast.
We get the pool, not the field house. We're, someday.
That's right. We'll work our way up.
And there are some exciting design elements coming there, too. Rinka is working on some further integrations across the Deer District and into the Hall of Fame,
I mean, they have thing on the building, to have some of the photos of some of the people involved, whether it's Hank Aaron, whether it's, others who are involved, and really to make it more lively and so that every time you're there, you know where you are. And, hopefully long-term, and this is, nothing I'm announcing today, but long-term, we want to have a permanent spot for the Hall of Fame. We really want to be able to do that. And I was just down I've been looking at them in other cities and was at the College Basketball Hall of Fame a week ago. And it was really just a great experience. And it drew in people like me from out of town to go into this place and see it and experience it and spend money. Again, that's, I think, great for city. But that's probably a few years away. But ultimately, I would love to see that.
All right. Very good. Steve Novak, Mark Cass, appreciate your time this morning. The business of sports here on the upswing tomorrow. The summer concert season is just beginning. Ticketmaster, Live Nation, an interesting take from Gary Witt from the Pabst Theater Group and Matt Berenger from the Pabst Theater Group. We'll talk to both of them tomorrow.